On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
What's up, everybody? This is Fred Smoot.
This is Landon Collins.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kerrigan. This is the Redskins Talk Podcast with J.P. Finley.
What up, everybody? J.P. Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. We're back at the park. We're back on the bench. Pete Haley, Mitch Tischler here. Gentlemen, how's it going?
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's us and then like a maybe a brewing game of pickup basketball about 100 yards away, which could be interesting to watch as well.
That is maybe 50 yards.
There's no
it might even be 30 yards.
Yeah.
No your golf game is in shambles.
Yeah.
I mean, that is not far. All right, so listen, folks. You're going to hear this basketball game going on in the background. Luckily, we have mics. The audio should be good. It's Mitch's department. He's confident. But there are, what do you say, about eight youngsters over there?
No, like, there's definitely six, so now I can just give you crap for being wrong. Six
no,
youngsters.
No, I can't tell. But and kids were coming and going. And, like, with the hoop right there, I can't see how many kids are on that bench.
Calling them youngsters sounds very old man of you.
How would you describe them?
Just kids.
I think they're middle school, maybe, like, early high school.
Yeah, teenagers.
They're a good decade younger than you.
I know. And they're like,
I think youngsters is pretty accurate.
I agree. I was okay with youngsters.
Well, I'm also 38. You're 36. Yeah, Pete's 25.
26.
We're all off to a hot start.
28.
We want to thank the good folks, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. Back by popular demand, I'll take one singular air horn.
Meow.
We're going back to Oarsman. The world's opening back up, and so are we. Thursday, June 25th. At 1 p.m., we will be at Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram of Alexandria doing our thing. Live podcast. We're going to do Q&A. There's going to be a lot of jersey discussion. If you guys are comfortable and want to show up and ask questions, you're welcome to. If not, maybe we'll do a Q&A via Twitter. Or I liked the email bag the other day. I thought that was fun.
I actually got a lot of good feedback on that. People enjoyed it.
Well, and so I listen to Kornheiser still, and he always, like, some days he doesn't read them till the end, but some days he starts with emails. Like, it's just fun to interact.
Yes.
So,
yes.
What is the email, Pete?
RedskinsTalkMailbag@gmail.com.
And what is your new address?
Go ahead. There it was.
What
I just said
it. Number?
Neither of those will be revealed on this podcast, but maybe one day.
I think they kind of have. I think I tweeted out your phone number, right?
Yeah, you tried to block it out, but it was very visible if you zoomed in. And here come two more youngsters.
Yeah. Dude,
which would bring the total to?
Eight. Because those kids were already up here.
Yeah, they're filing in.
I think there's going to be a good run.
Mitch,
here.
You should go over and start posting these kids up.
if Mitch went over there and got them in the box. Oh,
that
man.
That would be amazing.
The three of us, I'm wearing flip-flops.
We crashed a basketball game in Richmond a couple years ago.
That was
fun. It
was
like a family reunion at a hotel.
I would body those kids.
Yeah, you would. You'd body us.
Youngsters.
And we're adults. I mean, obviously, a lot to talk about. We're on Thursday, 1 o'clock. We're going to be at Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram of Alexandria. We're going to try to get Pete to say that 100 times fast. Thursday evening, for one more week at least. We still have no idea our long-term time frame,
right. But
they're going to give us another stream show. What are we
another
calling that?
Run
thing?
At it.
Another run at Redskins Talk and Friends. Last week we had Brian Mitchell join us and Todd Dibas. This week, guest TBD. But I think we're going to talk a little NBA. Listen, it's still the three of us talking Redskins and making fun of each other, but then we're also going to talk a little bit of other things.
We're
That's why it's called
friends.
And Friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to talk a little hoops. I mean, I don't really like the Wizards or the NBA that much. I'm happy to talk some hoops.
Great sell.
Yeah. All right. Be sure to be there Thursday at 5 o'clock on the NBC Sports Washington Facebook page.
When we get into hockey, I'm all in on it.
I got to say this.
That was so bad.
We've given Pete mountains of crap about his haircut. Finally got to a barber, and it looks good, dude.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a long journey. I think I'm at a good place now, and I just want to keep it going.
It looks good, dude.
I like it.
It's like you look trendy, what you were trying to do.
You guys pushed me months ago to get a more than 7-year-old haircut. I finally did, and it took some adjusting here and there, but I like where
I'm at. I think when we're ever on television again and we're dressed up and doing things correctly, I think you'll look good.
It could be something.
That might be like 2 or 3 haircuts.
I think it'll be 2021.
Yeah, measure life in haircuts. That's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
6 or 7 haircuts at that rate. But thank you guys for that, because it's nice to get both sides. You're jerks me when I'm in a bad spot, but then you come around and pick me up when I'm in a good spot.
We're just trying to help you get better, Pete.
I know.
All right. You have. Enough. Redskins retired Bobby Mitchell's number. Long overdue, but still the right decision. The guy, listen, I never saw Bobby Mitchell play. He played in the 60s. I'm not that old. His numbers are outrageous. In 1962, he had 72 catches for almost 1,400 yards with 11 touchdowns. And then in 1963, dude, he had 1,436 yards receiving.
He's like DeAndre Hopkins in the 60s.
Right, when they just didn't throw. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this, I believe, and I don't have internet here in the park, so I can't look it up, I'm pretty sure Sonny was his quarterback, and Sonny just went deep. It was just bombs away ball back then.
Yeah, one of those dropbacks where he just like runs 10 steps behind and just lofts it up.
Yeah.
They also renamed the lower bowl after him. Did you say that?
I did not.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, that kid just drilled another kid with the ball. So, good. George Preston Marshall was a jerk.
Yeah.
Like, get him out of here.
Yeah,
and
seeing the
Bobby Mitchell is, by all accounts, we know that he was a fantastic football player. Like, listening to Brian Mitchell talk about Bobby Mitchell, I truly believe that he was an incredible person. The stuff he had to endure as the Redskins' first black player, I can only I don't even want to imagine, but he handled it incredibly by all accounts. So
you were just talking about his 1962 season, Bobby Mitchell's?
Yes.
So I did this a while ago. If you adjusted it to 2019 NFL stats, it would be equivalent to 106 catches, 2,051 yards.
Oh, was that 14 games?
And
yeah.
16 TDs.
Oh.
That was based on number of games and percentage of pass plays.
Oh, wow.
Done. So
read it again.
Imagine that.
So, hold on. So, his 1962 actual numbers, 14 games, 72 catches, 1,384 yards for a yards per catch is 19.2. Mm-hmm. That's pretty great with 11 touchdowns.
So, yeah, adjusted to 2019, to the last season's numbers, it was 106 catches, 2,051 yards, and 16 TDs.
That yard number seemed – so, he averaged 99 yards per game receiving.
Right.
So, but you're upping
I'm upping the average based on the percentage of passes that were thrown between the two eras. It's not an exact. It wasn't an exact. It's not an exact.
You're juicing the numbers a little bit. Usually
I think
Pete
it does
that.
Job
but
of portraying.
I think it's a pretty accurate way to look.
Might have
at
been
it.
A little purple penning out of you. Like who knows?
2,000 yard season is pretty remarkable for a wideout.
That's what I'm. I mean, I think that's the point. That was a pretty remarkable season. Who was the next closest in 1962?
I don't know because I don't have internet, like I've mentioned, but. I mean, he outdid that the next year.
Yeah.
So, the guy's great, and I'm glad the organization did it. They're way too late in doing this. You hate that it only happens posthumously and that he doesn't get to see this. Mm-hmm. He passed away in April. And I'll lead this to my next point. Hopefully, this allows for more people who should have their number retired to get to see it happen. I wrote a story for NBCSportsWashington.com making the case to retire Sean Taylor's number. And I think this is, unfortunately, another posthumous situation. And I very much understand that. So I'm going to write 5 stories. I don't know if I'm previewing this or what. I'm not trying to give anything away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I don't write enough.
Yeah.
But hopefully we get more assigned to us.
I like when that happens.
Yeah,
I love
that.
I like seeing my email fill up with other
ideas. The best part is Doolin makes us – we have plans for 2 months what we're going to write, and then we just get more stuff assigned. It's terrific.
Big plans and then little plans thrown on top.
Right.
It's a plan sandwich.
And they're not – you know how like
– And it doesn't taste good.
You know the saying is like the cherry on top? Like the what's the opposite of a cherry on top?
I don't know if we can say it.
Like a sneaker?
I thought it was a cherry on bottom.
I guess. It's like a shoelace.
It's an acorn on top.
It's a shoelace that comes untied in the men's room on top.
FedEx Field men's room.
One of the worst shoelaces situations.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
So, Sean Taylor, to me, it's not about what he did, because what he did was impressive, but what he did doesn't compare to the other four guys that I think they could retire their jerseys. And those would be Darryl Green, John Riggins, Sonny Jurgensen, and Doug Williams. Three of them are in the Hall of Fame. Doug Williams, a cultural icon, won a Super Bowl.
Doug, those five are, to me,
that's my five. Relatively Taylor, Riggins, Green, Sonny,
Doug.
Like, you can say them by first name and you know who you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Now, does it get tricky? Do you kind of run out of numbers,
right,
especially
the
in the 20s?
Weird thing with football is it's not like an NBA team where you got 12 guys. You have number restrictions and a lot more players to outfit.
I think it's hard to have a number retirement discussion without addressing the identity of the best years of the team and not have either Russ Grimm or Joe Jacoby.
Oh, God.
You don't think Russ Grimm or Jake deserves it?
Not in the context of those other guys. Listen, the Hogs are phenomenal, and they were
maybe
the –
maybe they just get a Hogs thing up in the –
I just
– if they don't already have it.
Those guys are really, really good, but they'll never be considered in the top – I mean, Jake, to me, is deserving – should be in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
But isn't.
So, I agree. So, Sean Taylor
– let's just talk about Taylor for a minute. Taylor, to me, is not about what he did on the field, because what he did was incredible, but it was really short-lived. It was 4 years, 3.5 years. It's about what he could have become. And the difference is that he's not able to come back to the alumni game. He's not able to, like, we hear from Sonny for the last 30 years as part of the radio broadcast. We've, you know what I mean? Darryl Green is around. Riggins is around. Taylor's gone. So there's, and I know they have his, you know, his number up in the Ring of Honor, and there are displays to Sean Taylor, undoubtedly. But I just think the way he died, he was murdered, protecting his family. Like, you can do more there. And I also think this, we know that Bruce Allen was very hyper-cognizant of the team's history and protecting the legacy he thought the way things should be done. I mean, they wouldn't wear color rush uniforms, all these things.
Right.
The new regime, I mean, you already have Jack Del Rio tweeting about white-on-white uniforms and – I won't be surprised at all if some of the real stuck up might be the wrong word, but some of the antiquated, like, we're not going to change anything, this is what we've done, and this is our history, I think some of that could change.
I think when you talk about Sean Taylor, you also have to talk about cultural impact, you know?
Totally.
It's beyond, like, his impact on the field was one thing. The way that he was revered by players who played alongside him is one thing. But this next generation of safeties and player and defensive players that grew up idolizing him, and I think you look at that, you look at the reach that he had, even though it was only, you know, like you said, 3.5 years. I think that's what makes it a no-brainer. Along with,
I also think it's the Peets. Anybody under 40, like, I'm at the tail end of anybody that remembers when this team was good, when this franchise was good.
Yeah.
Anybody under 30 has no chance, mm-hmm. and he's by far the best player to come through FedEx Field.
Yeah. Two things. One, you should listen to the Sports Uncovered Sean Taylor podcast that NBC Sports did. Great. Basically sums up all that we're saying. Number two, his number is kind of already retired. Landon wanted to wear it, but he was kind of, you know, discouraged from doing so. The other guys may get weird, may get tricky. But with Sean, that's a huge onus to put on somebody to eventually break that out whenever that does happen. Just make it official and retire that one so it can just kind of be handled. And then the other guys maybe you want to have further discussions about. But Sean deserves it.
I don't think there's further discussions with the guys I've named either. Riggins. And that's the thing that you talk about honoring the Hogs. Like, you put Riggins in and you put Doug in. Like, that's that era.
Right, but as much as...
I think Riggins is directly honoring those guys.
Right. Riggins is directly honoring those guys. They're also guys that didn't get a lot of shine, obviously, in their day. And Jake is still waiting to get into the Hall of Fame, may never get in. That would be a nice nod by the organization as a boost to the public's perception of his importance.
Would you put any of those dudes above the five I've named?
The only one that I would argue would be Riggo. I think that you could make an argument that you could go with either a Russ Graham or a Joe Jacoby over Riggo, only because Riggo's success is directly tied to those guys. Those guys' success was directly tied to him. You give a little bit of shine to a guy who needs a little. I'm speaking mostly about Joe Jacoby just because I think that an honor, like having your number retired by a team that doesn't retire a lot of numbers, maybe gets them more into the public.
I don't think it does.
Spotlight. I think it's at least gets back.
I mean, and let's be. I don't know. I feel like you've kind of distorted the conversation about retiring numbers to be about Joe Jacoby being in the Hall of Fame. He belongs in there. All of us agree. I was there when he didn't get in Minnesota a couple years ago. I think now his thing will come to the Veterans Committee in like a decade or something.
I think my point being that I think that they're borderline right on the edge of as being as worthy as John Riggins.
I don't think you're right, but that's fine.
Yeah.
We need someone, I don't know the respectful way to say older than us.
Historian.
Yeah. Steeped in Redskins historic
knowledge.
Need?
We need Chandler. Yes. We need Chandler.
Yeah. Where are you at, RJ?
There's also the Chris Hamburger conversation that, like, he doesn't, like, it doesn't move the needle for me. I'm sure Pete, barely moves the needle for him, but you look at some of his numbers.
Pete, has Mitch kind of completely derailed this discussion? On a scale of one to derailed.
I get it. These are all incredible legends of the team, but there needs to be tiers because if you just open the floodgates.
Because we're talking about retiring
seven players. Like, they have the Ring of Fame. That's the second highest tier, but the jersey retiring is the absolute top.
It's like the Bill Simmons theory on the Basketball Hall of Fame is that it's like a pyramid.
Yeah.
And there's only so many people at the top of the pyramid, but you still honor a ton of people.
Yeah.
But, like, are you just saying that name, or do you actually feel like – like, I don't know enough about Chris Hamburger.
I'm saying when you look at his numbers compared to, like, his he was a defensive player of the year. He was a nine-time Pro Bowler back in the day when Pro Bowls mattered. He was a four-time
– I didn't know this much about Chris Hamburger. Are you making this up?
No. Because I looked it up because I think it's important to talk about some of the older players that we don't know enough about, like the Charlie Taylors, Chris Hambergers, these guys who had very good careers and were – especially as we're talking about, you know, the younger generation not knowing anything about, you know, about winning and about.
But so players. Just I'll try to indulge you. So who are you putting Chris Hamburger in over the guys I'm naming? Riggo?
Yeah.
John Riggins has the most iconic play in the franchise's history. And he was pull up Riggins numbers if you want to talk numbers.
I'm saying that maybe it's more than five because at one time we're talking about a 90-year history of Washington Redskins players that numbers should have been retired over the years. I think some of these numbers would have been retired over the years, so it's not just this five. It's not just a group of five. Right now, we're trying to consolidate 90 years of Redskins history of numbers that maybe should have been retired.
No, because Baugh is probably they were awful for, I don't know much, but I know they were terrible for 40 years. So Baugh's the one that got it, and then you jump to 60s. I don't know. Let's book somebody that knows that can honestly discuss things that happened before 1990. Because that,
like Rick Snyder or something.
Sure, like I can't.
Neither can I.
And I think it's conflating things to continuously bring up other people. When to me, those guys stand so much further apart.
Yeah, they have all these other lists: 70 greatest Redskins, Ring of Fame, all these things that the Hamburgers get to belong to, the really goods to greats, but then the super defining Redskins get the jersey retiring, hopefully. So I think it's
if I had to make a list, it would like so. I think Taylor should be next because of everything that happened, right? Then it would be Daryl. It might be by all. I never saw Sonny play, but he was incredible. And his numbers are outrageous for a time when they were playing 14 games. But the team stunk. And doesn't that matter on some level? I think they were bad back then.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I think Taylor, sooner than later, makes a lot of sense. I think Daryl Green – I think Daryl Green was the only position player to make the NFL top 100, right? So that to me, serves as a difference.
I agree completely. I think there are four, and it's splitting hairs. I think all of this is splitting hairs, but that's what we're doing here.
I don't think it is at the top levels. I don't think it's splitting hairs. I think these things are obvious.
Okay.
But I guess we'll continue.
I guess we'll agree to disagree. But
so you're four without Riggo.
Yeah,
you agree?
And I think Riggo is obviously a great, but he's in the Ring of Honor. He's in the
John Riggins' playing career meant much more for the organization than Doug Williams. Doug Williams started like a year and a half.
Yeah, but to me, you talk about cultural impact.
Sure.
And I think
he was a starting quarterback in a Super Bowl. Like that matters a lot too. I don't know. We need somebody older. We need Tandler. Seriously. But I still, you never answered my question. On a scale of 0 to 10, how much did Mitch derail that?
6.5.
Yeah, it was a lot.
We didn't really topple over, but we certainly like turned on the tracks to a different route.
We hit two-wheel motion for sure.
Yeah. Talk about just the five that JP was bringing up, then yes, I derailed it.
Because those are the five.
And that's where my
Pete,
argument
what do you,
is.
It's the, where is your argument? 6, 7, 8?
5. I think 5 through 8. I think there's 4 or 5 players that could be in that group.
I kind of think you're just being argumentative. Because you looked up Chris Hamburger stats.
Yes, that's the only reason.
Pete, what do you – Pete is holding his tongue, perhaps wisely.
Chris Hamburger isn't my number 6 guy. I already told you who my number 6 guy was.
Jacoby.
Or Russ Grimm.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm more on JP's side here. Just – and this is the last time I say it. You just can't start – you can't just have a wave of retired jerseys out of nowhere. I'm sorry they missed the boat. Maybe they should have done it earlier. And for me personally, I'm speaking for 25 years and younger, if you put Joe Jacoby's jersey retired, I'm going to scroll by on Twitter as a normal Redskins fan and be like, oh, cool, I'm going to go back to TikTok. Like, I don't know. I think jersey retiring, sorry, I'm just going to say it. I think it's kind of a played out bit. Not that cool to me.
Had to do it with Bobby Mitchell. I'm with you, though. I don't think it's that important. Like
there are a million ways to honor these guys, and these guys have been properly honored, I think. I don't know if a jersey retiring really.
I think they should do it for Taylor because of the circumstances. Like, to me, it's the story. You either have to be so excellent or the situation has to be so extreme or rare.
You know, here's my idea. Make a little 21 insignia on both 21-yard lines.
It's kind of a cool idea, but you'd probably have to get the NFL. I don't know that.
Yeah, that's just an idea I came up with
also,
on this bench.
Like, some
in the park.
Of this is bigger because the NFL just allows for such little cool stuff.
Right.
Like, the number discussion wouldn't be nearly so hard if corners were allowed to wear numbers in the – you tell me there's corners out there that don't – like, that they wear, like, 6 in college, safeties and corners. Like, open that stuff up.
This is my promise to you and the listeners. When I get home, I don't have much to do. I want to go through all 31 other teams and see how many retired numbers there really are, and we can kind of get a feel of are the Redskins on the short side, the normal side with having one or two, or if they're way behind.
That is a great idea. And you know it would be awesome if we could go to our office and record this podcast in a place that had internet, and we could just be looking that up while we're talking.
So I'm going to email myself to do that when I get home.
It's a great
maybe
story
even write
to write.
A blog about it. I'm going to assign it to myself before somebody assigns it to me.
Right, because someone's listening and they're going to assign it to you.
Of course. I don't want any more, what I call it, boss sandwiches or something.
Boss sandwiches.
You don't want any more untied shoelaces.
Yeah.
All right.
Enough of those.
I'm Mike Tirico, and on the next episode of Sports Uncovered.
Sean Taylor had the big plays, the big hits, the big moments for the Washington Redskins, but that all came to a tragic immediate end in November of 2007.
He died saving the life of the two loves of his life. He died a man.
Subscribe to Sports Uncovered for free wherever you listen to podcasts.
So I quickly looked up the Giants' retired jersey numbers. Do you want to guess how many?
Giants, very historic, tenured franchise. A lot of old success, some new success mixed in. I'm going to say 3 numbers retired.
way over. Mitchell, you want to guess? And don't look it up.
I'm not.
Cheater.
He's doing more hamburgers.
Yeah,
stats.
Dude. More deep dives.
I'm going to guess 12.
I think it's 11.
But are those, that's like so marked off like they cannot be worn, or is that just like special numbers that are kind of like Sean or something?
I mean, this is from BigBlueInteractive.com. It's sure. A Giants website, and it says New York Giants retire jersey numbers. So the Giants were the first professional team to retire a number for Ray Flaherty, mm-hmm. who may or may, look that up, Mitch. That dude might have ended up coaching the Redskins. Wasn't there like a Father Ray Flaherty
or
something?
I'm pretty sure.
That might be Flannery. Tandler is so upset with all that is going on.
I'm
right
on
now.
The Ray Flaherty did coach the Redskins train.
I think I am too.
I think that happened. I'm not going to say I remember it, but I think it happened.
All right. Ray Flaherty, Tuffy Lehmans, Mel Hine.
Y.A. Tittle?
Yes. Phil Sims, Y.A. Tittle, Ward Cuff. It's a hell of a name.
Who are these people?
Frank Gifford. Uh-huh. Al Blozis. I hope I'm saying that right. How would you say B-L-O-Z-I-S?
Yeah, Blozis.
Yeah.
Maybe Blouses? I don't know.
Yo, he was an off. I guess he played two ways. He was an offensive and defensive tackle.
Uh-huh.
And he wore number 32.
Huh. Those were the good old days.
Joe Morrison, Charlie Connerly, Ken Strong, and Lawrence Taylor.
I've heard.
I can tell you this: LT deserves his jersey retired.
Yeah. I've only heard of Y.A. Tittle because he's in all the old clips, and Lawrence Taylor. So like,
you've heard of Frank Gifford?
Yes, Gifford too. But like,
you've heard of Phil Sims, donk?
Okay, so four. But like, my point is, seven of those: Al Blosus and his friends. I'm sorry, people my age don't give a rat's ass if there's a retired jersey of those dudes. It's just the truth.
I think if you were a Giant fan, if you were a 25-year-old Giant fan and, like, your grandfather told you about Al Blosis.
Okay.
I'm looking at a list of all retired numbers across the league.
You're doing my
like, I just randomly picked out the Giants.
Right.
Like, that was,
I think you just
read random names off the internet and
that
said.
Breeze.
The Panthers and the Bengals are the only teams that have less players, less jerseys retired than the Redskins.
Okay, and the Panthers have only been around 30 years. The Skins have been around 90.
The
Redskins have just never retired jerseys.
Right.
I think it was a thing. I don't know this. I think George Preston Marshall, the story I heard is that George Preston Marshall, who's a racist bad dude, promised Sammy Baugh that his number would be the only jersey ever retired. And maybe that got passed down to, like, Jack Kent Cook, who went with it. And then by the time Dan Snyder took over, I don't know what happened early on in Dan's tenure, but then once Bruce got involved in 2010, I think Bruce was against anything like that because he was such a – I don't know what to call him, but –
Redskins fans are filling it in for you as they listen.
Yeah.
Right. Tweet JP the adjective that you would use for Bruce Allen.
Oh boy. All right.
Anyway, the larger point that I was making was that if you're going to open the barn door, I think that there are going to be a bunch of chickens that are going to run out.
My argument is you shouldn't open the barn door because...
Which is a fine argument.
Okay.
I agree.
Keep the barn door shut.
So what, you're saying just don't do it, just move on?
Sean, Sammy, yes, and maybe like Riggins, sure, but there has to be a very small size.
Yeah, I think if you go then you've got six total.
And then whoever comes
six
the
is probably still way less than most teams.
Especially the teams that were around as long as
right.
the Redskins have.
Is the barn door a phrase? What was
no,
that?
No. And he was saying something about chickens after.
Yeah.
Chickens
all right, we're moving on. We want to thank Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, want you to do the exact same thing. Mitch is getting phone calls. It's probably more story assignments for Pete. They can't get a hold of us.
More series and segments.
Thursday.
I want to be clear. It's better to be having assignments than no job at all. I want to.
Paranoid Pete, alive and well.
Yeah.
Redskins Talking Friends, Thursday, 5 p.m. on NBC Sports Washington Facebook Live. Thursday at 1 o'clock, we're going to be at Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram of Alexandria. That'll be fun. Come show up if you want. Ask us some questions. Otherwise, you can send Q&A for the mailbag. Where, Peter?
RedskinsTalkMailbag@gmail.com, and we'll have that pulled up at the Orsman site.
And here's a promise. For next Monday's pod is probably when we'll do it. Maybe we'll tape it somewhere in between. We will get somebody with a greater historic perspective to comment on some of these number
maybe
things.
Maybe it could even be Kime. There's so many people around this
area,
though. Yeah,
plenty, for sure. We probably can't do that in the show, and then if we're going to be there Thursday, I don't know. We're going to work on
somebody
that.
Somebody soon.
Yeah.
And then also make sure you're going to listen to Sports Uncovered on Sean Taylor. You're going to love it. Trust me. If you're listening to us in this podcast, you're going to enjoy that.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921.
Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
A couple more things. We've been talking for a while. Bullish and Bearish is off and running. I want to thank our guy Jay for the idea. It's wild that, like, our text thread, his text thread idea has gotten this much legs. Mm-hmm. We did our first one today, Monday, Pete. What was it? What side are you on?
It was bullish or bearish. The Redskins will lead the NFL in sacks. Last year, they were 10th with 46, which I think was just eight behind the Steelers, as JP pointed out. I was bearish on this. I think every single improvement on this defense will occur. The coaching staff is much better. Losing Greg Minuski was a huge addition. Chase Young, Kerrigan will be better. Montez Sweat, all these guys. Love the 3D linemen. But even with that, I don't think they're going to lead. I think from 10th to 5th is good. But is a reasonable target. But I think this iffy secondary, especially a corner, is going to prevent coverage sacks from happening. And you need those to really go into the top two or three. And I think the fact that the Redskins will probably be behind a fair amount, meaning offenses won't be inclined to pass as much, will also hurt the Redskins, give them fewer chances. So I think the pass rush will be the strongest part of their team. But I'm bearish when it comes to them leading the NFL in sacks.
So my case was, I'm not necessarily agreeing with this, but so this was user submitted. This is from, you have the tweet up?
I will find it.
So the tweet was sent to us. His prediction was the Redskins will lead the league in sacks, and I said, I'm bullish on it. So sacks have never been the problem. They finished top 10 last year, only eight off the pace by the Steelers.
Doug McLaughlin's
idea. So thank you, Doug. So they finished top 10 with Kerrigan only getting 5.5 and having a really down year. I think Kerrigan will be better. I think Chase Young's going for double-digit sacks. I know we've had this debate plenty. His goal is to break Javon Kurse's rookie sack record. That's 14.5 sacks. So his goal is to get 15 sacks. You get two-thirds of the way there, these numbers start to pile up, because I think the interior, the D-tackles, Payne Allen, Ioannidis, and let's include Tim Settle. Yep, what the hell? Yep. I think you can count 25 on the inside.
That's a lot.
That 25 on the inside is a lot.
No, I agree with you, though.
That's eight each. I mean, Ioannidis, I think, is good for that. I think Allen's pretty close, but Payne was down to 2 last year. A big jump for him would be up to 5, 5.5.
But if he gets 5 and Settle gets 3?
Yeah.
And Ioannidis gets more, like,
yeah.
He can be good for 8. But
those
he can
4,
also
I think 25 for those 4
I think
is good.
20 is a safe.
Yes.
But I think 25 is.
Okay.
So I can
buy into that.
My thing was, I was making the case to be bullish.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things I'm not bullish on. I think you know that. I don't think, like, if the question was, can the Redskins finish, if the statement was the Redskins will finish with a top 5 defense, I'd be bearish.
Yeah.
Well documented. But I think specifically sacks is where they can have.
Yeah.
I think they have a chance at this. Like, if it was a bet, would the Redskins lead the NFL in sacks, and it was like 11-1 odds, they finished top.
I would definitely.
I kind of like that.
If I got 10-1 odds on that, I would take it. But yeah.
What do you think the odds would be? 8?
Yeah.
It's not going to be that much higher.
It'll be right around there.
Yeah. So those are going to be fun. Do you know what tomorrow's is?
We have to talk about it, but there's.
Just pick right now.
Okay. I will pick right now because I sent you an email if you want to fill for 30 seconds. Here we go.
You want me to yell at Mitch again?
Here we go. No.
I'm happy to yell.
Tomorrow, we're going to do. How about this? This is a juicy one. I'll say this and you can tell me. Kyle Allen starts week 9 versus the Giants out of the bye.
No, we're not doing that.
Okay.
We are, dude.
Oh,
we
How about this?
We just handled that in our quarterback position battle.
How about Logan Thomas over 500 receiving yards and 4 touchdowns?
We can certainly do that one. Do you want to know how I feel about that?
I can tell by the way you're
Mike
sitting.
Mike Ditka.
Yeah.
Jellystone.
Well, then maybe this one will be better.
Yogi Berish.
McKissick and Gibson will combine
like
for
Thomas
more receptions than all the time.
You okay. Like the Logan Thomas one?
Yeah.
Listen.
Are you bullish on that?
Maybe I'll make the bullish case because who the hell.
The tight ends.
I think you could do the tight end position 500 yards receiving.
You just stole. That's a really good line for the post that's coming tomorrow.
All right. Well, that's my line. You don't get to use it.
Why don't you make that the discussion?
Nah, because it's user submitted. Yeah, like, right. We're using it. Now, we can maybe tweak the headline.
You can make a bullish argument here. There's going to be catches and touchdowns to be had from the tight end position.
Are there? Like, everybody
there wasn't last year.
Didn't happen last year.
Yeah. The one more we could do this week. There's no protection for Haskins, and he's the most sacked quarterback in the NFL.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. You got big questions on the left side.
Yeah. We'll circle
maybe
up and get some
on
more.
The right side.
But there's good topics to come. It's a
got an interesting tweet from JR. I don't know if you guys follow him. I don't know, remember his exact Twitter handle, but he's like a super informed Skins fan. I think it might be like JRO14 or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Coronavirus, salary cap questions, all sorts of stuff. Could that be impacting a long-term deal with Brandon Scherff? Like, does the team just not want to come up with the cash? Because you got to think about it, man. No NFL team is going to go hungry, right? Like, the TV deal is what powers them. The TV deal is such a huge chunk of money that each team gets, no matter if they have one or zero people in their stadium, right? If they have a packed house, an empty house, you're still getting nine figures from the TV deal. But having empty stadiums will hurt some teams more than others. And what I hadn't thought about, and this was a conversation I had with somebody that knows some stuff, there is so much more to that. Like, all the Pepsi signs at FedEx Field, all the insurance companies and beers and whatever else, like, all that sponsorship money, does that just go away? Do you owe them back on that the following year? Like, at some point, you're not selling that stuff. Or you're selling it at a reduced cost, or you have to pay it back. And all of that kind of ancillary, it's not about, let's be generous at FedEx Field and say the 50,000 in the stands. Like, it's about the exposure for what those people typically get. So,
and the sponsored elements on the Jumbotron.
All that stuff,
across
dude.
The board, all
yeah.
That stuff.
And so I think it's.
You're sponsored hit at halftime.
Yeah. I think it's sponsored by us, isn't it?
Whoever it's sponsored by,
our
it's a damn good segment.
Our sponsorships.
Yeah, our sponsorship's a thing.
But I think
those. I tell you what, when I first started doing those were pretty intimidating to be in the middle of a football field.
Are you kidding me?
But now you kind of get used to it.
Look at the way that there are deferrals and there are offsets that other leagues and teams have had to deal with, and I think everyone across the board is going to be dealing with it because
for sure. But to JR's point, maybe they're not looking to lock up Brandon Scherff for a long term deal right now.
Certainly,
which could hurt them. Like, if everything goes okay and maybe there's a cure in February or whatever. And then he's just a free agent, or you got to sign him at 120%.
I don't know. Yeah, I think maybe interesting. Seeing him in person and not knowing his health is more impactful than the money from Pepsi, but it all plays a role. Absolutely.
They can't have that many questions if they franchise him.
Yeah.
Like, if the health was a concern, you don't slap a franchise tag on somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Or you'd rather slap a franchise tag on him than play Ross Pierce-Baker.
I would you? Because they're playing Wes Martin or Wes. They got a battle of the Wesses at
That's
the other
true.
Guard spot.
We covered that last week in our other series.
A lot of series. It's series
a lot
time.
Of series.
It's series time. Okay, I want to thank Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Hope you do the same thing. We will be at Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram of Alexandria on Thursday at 1:00. That should be a lot of fun. And then we got the show that night. Thursday at 5, Redskins Talk and Friends. Mitch hates the NBA and doesn't like the Wizards, but he's excited to talk hoops.
I'm excited to talk hoops, though, because I think the NBA might be in as bad a shape as the MLB.
Like this year or in
this
general?
Year, this year. I'm not 100% sure this comeback is going to happen.
Yeah. You know who's coming back? Hockey.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been
all quiet on the hockey front.
I feel They're like hockey like, yeah. players are like ready to go tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you know who's geared up for that? Hockey Mitch.
I bet. Hockey Mitch will be watching from Bethesda.
You know how nice it'll be to watch playoff asterisk hockey games
so
with a beer?
Mitch might actually watch hockey. I don't think he does, but I don't want to blow his cover of Hockey Mitch.
First of all, I definitely watch hockey.
Pete, you and I are Caps fans. We're not hockey fans.
Yeah.
The first game back that's on TV, let's say it's Blues. I guess the Blues have been good lately. Let's say it's Stars.
Oh, it's just generic hockey?
Stars, Coyotes. You watching?
No. I'm playing Call of Duty or writing a story. Caps, I'll watch the first game. For me, the interesting thing is, will I watch the second Caps
game? I think I'll watch every Caps game.
Yeah. So I watch
like the.
I'll certainly watch the third period of every Caps game.
I would rather watch warm-ups for a.
And if anybody's listening, I'll watch the pregame and the postgame show on NBC Sports Washington too.
Absolutely, with Rob Carlin, Alame, and lots of other good people.
I think you got to be excited, regardless of how terrible nubby the matchup might be.
You got to like.
Sports. We all have our tastes.
He is the generation that's ruining everything. They're cord cutting and not watching, and that's why I'm curious when I ask him.
You're not going to throw a $10 bet down in,
that
in
is,
West
that
Virginia.
That has changed
it?
Things, yeah.
Right.
When is DC opening?
I don't know.
Because I've heard it's opening.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like the website for.
Yeah. We're about 3/4 of a mile from the DC line sitting
oh,
here at this park.
My friend's using it already.
The DC lottery joint?
The website, yeah. He's using it already.
To make bets?
Yeah.
All right. We should investigate this further.
Pete.
Yeah.
I can't finish that sentence. But
a lot going on here at the park.
Pete's going to be our surrogate because he's living in the district.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas you and
I
live in
Maryland. Am looking forward to getting in my car, leaving my house and the children in it, and going to Millie's. No, the closest bar to my house is Millie's, which is just over the D.C. line.
Yeah.
And have a cold one, sit down, place my wagers.
Yeah.
But the problem is right now there's nothing even to wager on.
That's what I'm
saying. I was watching arm wrestling this weekend.
Dude, you're watching some wacky things.
Dude, I was betting my buddy. We had $5 per.
What was better, arm wrestling or the flag football?
Flag football is bad. Like, I don't know what league that was,
yeah.
But, like, those guys weren't the best. That looked like the beer league flag football. Like, I know there's, like, very legitimate flag football out there.
By the way, whatever the random UFC fights on that are on, like, every other night. Me and a buddy will just throw down $5 and be like, I got the guy in the green shorts.
Yeah.
I'll be like, I'll take the red shorts. Nice. We know nothing about anybody, just totally randomly guessing.
We need sports back. Lastly, if anybody knows any way to keep track of your AirPods, tell me. I've now lost 2 pairs.
I lost mine in Michigan. New ones.
I have one AirPod still remaining, but I can't find the case or the other one.
So you have like 20 minutes left with that thing.
Oh, it's dead.
Yeah.
And
the first one
I can't find at all.
But when the case dies, it doesn't help.
Oh.
It's a Find My AirPod app.
So here's my thing. Are there good, cheap AirPods? Because I'm just going to buy the knockoffs at this point.
They're definitely cheap ones.
They're all over my Instagram feed. So please tweet me, send me a note, whatever you want to do. Tell me how to fix this AirPod situation.
It's tough because once you go to AirPod Life,
you can't go back.
Never go back. The cords are somehow always in your way. I'm right there with you.
Okay. Lastly, I have golf written down. How great was Hilton Head finishing at like 8 p.m.
God.
It looked beautiful. Golden hour at Hilton Head. Webb Simpson just putting his butt off.
Just rolling
Ricky
in.
Fowler not making the cut.
Yeah, it's everything you wanted. But I like when they show how late it is, and Mitch will get this because he's Mr. Camera Geeky Man. That's your new nickname. Where they show regular TV shot, and then they show, well, this is what it really looks like without the technology. And it's pitch black.
Right.
How are they just playing
But
in
it
that?
Wasn't like that at Hilton Head.
It was
getting
dicey.
What was the tournament that was like a really dark?
The last famous one was Valhalla, like the PGA Championship where Rory won, but that's probably 10 years ago or something.
Yeah. But, man, it's golf having that back.
Where's
that's
the state
what
of everybody's golf game? Well, I think we have a match July 1st.
Oh, that's something to really plug.
Yeah.
I'm going to call in the tee time this week, make sure it's all taken care of.
What are we calling it?
And by taking care of, I mean just on the books. It's not like I get any hooks or anything. The Needwood Invitational. This comes from our bet last year.
Do you want me to try to get something better, or do you want it to be Needwood?
No, it's the Needwood Invitation.
Okay.
That's the bet. You haven't seen Needwood. Needwood is in good shape.
I've never
the
played Needwood.
The greens are stiff and
so you're
going
to have a distinct advantage.
Oh, I know that course so
What's
well.
The yardage at Needwood?
6,300 from the tips.
That'll be fun.
Dude, it's the best. It's
Yo,
the best
I played Bretton
ever.
Woods from the tips. That was fun.
What is Bretton Woods from the tips?
7K.
We played Worthington Manor at, I think, 68, 66 or something like that. Deep.
Yeah. Well, slug beers and play. This is from you betting Rory to win money last year over Ricky. You
well,
Rory
you're supposed
destroyed.
To buy me food afterwards.
We'll do
wings
that.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
I don't know that wing stores are
we'll
open.
We'll just go to your house and Uber Eats it. And
no,
then I'll sleep in your basement.
Just go. No.
We'll go
none of that will occur.
We'll go to a outdoor patio.
Oh, good point. I forgot what
All right, we'll figure,
arrow
Maybe we'll come to the park.
July
Every
1st.
Other high school kid appears to be drinking beer up here. So
none of us are high school kids.
I know.
July 1st.
We'll be drinking beer.
Lock it in.
July 1st.
It's
lock it
bigger
in.
Bigger than the Tiger-Tom Brady match.
I'm playing golf this week with somebody who's awesome that we all know, that we work with, that I've never played golf with before.
Gary Carter.
No. I play golf with Gary.
Okay.
And would you ever describe Gary as awesome?
He's an awesome person. He
right.
sucks at golf.
Oh, I know who you're playing with.
Joe B.
Wow, you're going to get some stories.
I feel like that'll be – and Al Koken. I've heard Smoke is a good golfer, too.
Is it just is there some sort of tournament, or is it you guys just organized?
No, it's just a round. So Joe B. Came and did me a favor and spoke to a group I belong to, and this is kind of the make good on that.
Nice. That is going to be
You know who
terrific.
I'm playing golf with this week?
Wes.
Peter Haley.
Where at? Thanks for the invite.
I don't know. We haven't gotten it locked in yet.
I feel like I get like one out of every three invites.
Well, I was going
to
invite
you
to
most
this?
Invites, but we know you can never do the mornings, which is when we like to get out.
And yesterday you weren't responding to any of my texts, so I didn't want to
Because you were annoying me.
I know.
You were asking me to do like homework on Father's Day. I was swimming with my daughter.
I know. I texted you the first time, and then
by the way,
between
your
the
wife
first
posted
and second.
A fantastic picture of you diving off the diving board with your daughter.
Yeah, she keeps – Shelby loves us going together.
I texted that and then realized it was Father's Day. I felt bad. Then texted you again, and then I was like, wow, he's really not into this. I won't ask him anymore. Thanks.
Pete, I know the stories have to go up.
I know.
Like,
I just get antsy. I like having things written down and knowing that they're done.
Why? Things have been written down for 2 months, and yet stuff still gets added and changed.
Well, people still ask us to write down things more, and they want to rewrite them down and highlight them.
Like, they want plans, and then we provide them, and then the plans change.
Yeah.
Well, then they add plans on top of plans.
And they could be anybody.
The old shoelace. Yeah. The old shoelace.
Nice and stale.
All right. Let's go. Thank you very much for listening. We're doing stuff. We're back.
Thursday's
a busy day. Come hang out. Dude, we all commented on the Facebook.
Yeah. I don't know if we should promise that again because we got like 300 comments.
It was way more than I expected.
And you're right. You have to grab them early because I went back at like 11 p.m. and there's way more.
So I did them right away. And then I saw you two started responding to them. And there was like 200 that were added after I had done
responding.
Which
is great, because you can watch afterwards.
I did ours.
Let's do this. Let's code word it for Redskins Talking Friends.
Ooh.
So if somebody wants to come in and comment.
That code word's pretty easy. Shoelace.
Done.
That's over with.
Shoelace. Put that in the comments.
And we'll definitely
People
respond.
Won't know what the heck it means, but it'll be funny.
We'll laugh.
All right. Thank you for listening. You made it this far. I owe you a beer.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.